Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893. That's 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com, and we will pray for you. 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information or anything like that, so you don't need to worry about that. We just want to pray for you this day. 419-389-0893. That's 419-389-0893. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we have to be here to come and to celebrate you and to worship you. And thank you for your love and grace and mercy, and that you are faithful to meet the needs of your people. And Lord, that you care for us, you love us, you give good things out of your right hand to your people and to your children. And so we thank you, Lord, that we can come with confidence, with boldness before the throne of grace, because you have invited us in, you have given us permission to enter before you. And so we thank you, Lord, that we have this honor and this privilege. And we pray that you will work mighty deeds in the lives of your people, that your name might be glorified and that they would give glory to you as they see it. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, if you have prayer requests, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God. And we're looking through the book of Philippians. We're working our way through the book of Philippians, and we're in chapter 1, verse 27, up to verse 27. Now we'll look at the rest of chapter 1 here. And before we read that, let me share a little story, because we were, as I mentioned earlier, I was off this weekend. I was off Friday and this weekend with the boy. It was in Valparaiso with his national tournament. His team, his basketball team, made the Lutheran Basketball Association national tournament for the national championship. Fell a little short, didn't quite win, but had a great time. Boys did well, won a game or two, and so it was fun to be there. But while we were sitting in the, you know, we had some downtime because there was a ton of games you played, but, you know, you had some breaks in between the games. And so one night we had some downtime and we were just kind of hanging out at the hotel. And one of the moms was there and she was struggling because she's trying to line up acolytes for their Easter service. So the acolytes are the kids who come down and, you know, and apparently it's, I didn't grow up Lutheran, so I'm learning this along with you. But for those of you who are Lutheran, you know, an acolyte, you know, is part of young people who help out with the service, and it's part of their catechism. You know, Lutheran kids go through catechism, and it's part of their requirements for their catechism. They have to do this. And so she was struggling to find someone for Easter, and I was like, Easter, that's like the Super Bowl of, you know, services for, you know, Christian calendar. I mean, that's the big one. You'd think everybody would want to be on Easter. But apparently it was a sunrise service that she was struggling with. Not the regular service, but the sunrise service. And nobody wanted to get up that early to go and be an acolyte for the service, for the sunrise service. And we started, it got us talking about how, and not just kids, but, you know, all of us, we don't always want to make sacrifices for our faith. Right? We don't always want to give up stuff and suffer and do challenging things. And we got to talking about how, you know, sometimes things are hard and you commit to doing something and sometimes it's going to get difficult and you got to do it, right? And yes, it's going to be hard, but you got to commit to it. And even when it's hard and even when it's difficult and even when it means doing something you don't want to do, like getting up real early on a Sunday morning to go do a sunrise service, you made the commitment, so you do it. And how people need to learn that lesson. And we need to teach that lesson as parents to our kids. As you make a commitment, you got to carry through. And we see this in so many areas of our life, right? We expect that in business. We expect that with our jobs. We expect that with our relationships. You know, you have to do the hard work. If you want to keep your job, everybody's job, I don't care how much you love your job, you may have the greatest job in the world, but I guarantee you there's parts of that job that you don't enjoy. You know, you might like 95% of your job. 95%, you just love doing it. You got excited to go to work every day. But there's 5% of it you don't really enjoy. Right? Maybe it's filling out forms for the government or doing paperwork or, you know, taking care of some of the accounting or whatever it may be. You know, there's a certain portion you're like, oh, you dread doing it. Like once a month, I got to do this. Oh, I always dread that. But you do it. Why? Because that's part of the job. And you know what? The other 95% of it makes it worth it. So you got to slug through, you know, that one little part of the job that you don't like. Well, that's life. You know, Jeff and I have often said doing the morning show would be perfect if we could do it from 9 to noon. right? You know, amen. Jeff gave an amen to that, right? We love doing the morning show. It's a great job. I mean, it's a huge amount of fun. We get to come in and have fun for 3 hours every morning. It's an awesome job. But, you know, getting up at 5 in the morning gets old a little after a while. You know, it'd be nice to sleep in every once in a while. It'd be nice not to have to get up that early. But that's the job, right? I mean, a morning show from 9 to noon isn't really a morning show, right? Everybody's already at work. It kind of defeats the purpose of it. If you're going to do a morning show, you got to get up early. That's life. And so you do it, right? Because it's the rest of the job is worth it. It's worth it. So we're going to have to make sacrifices in life for things that matter to us and things that are good and things that are important. And the same is true with our faith. If we're going to follow Jesus, it's going to require us to make sacrifices. There are so many things about following Jesus that are awesome. There's so many things about Jesus, following Jesus, that are fantastic. There are so many benefits. It's so worth it. But that doesn't mean there aren't hard things and difficult things. Remember, Paul is writing to the Philippian church. He's in prison. Well, he's not in prison. He's under house arrest at this point. But he's chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. He's on trial for his life. He doesn't know what the outcome will be, although he suspects that God's going to deliver him. But he doesn't know that for sure. He could very well be killed at the end of this. He's awaiting his trial with Caesar. He's appealed to Caesar as a Roman citizen. He had that right. And so he's waiting for Caesar to hear his case, and which could happen any time. I mean, Caesar, whenever he feels like it. So he could sit there. He doesn't even know how long he's going to be under house arrest. You know, eventually Caesar will get around to him, but he's got lots of things to do. And so he's just kind of waiting in limbo. But in the process, as he's waiting on trial for his life, chained to this guard, he writes this letter to the Philippians. It's a letter of encouragement. It's a letter of joy. And then he warns, he tells them this in verse 27. So he's told them, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but whatever the outcome is going to be, I want to see God glorified. That's basically his theme. And then in verse 27, he says this, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. So apparently the Philippian church was facing their own hardship, their own trial. But Paul writes to them saying, don't worry about that. Don't panic. Don't worry about that. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of Christ. Stand firm, contend for the gospel. Don't let this hinder you. Don't let this in any way keep you from proclaiming the gospel. Stand as one to keep proclaiming the gospel. Don't be frightened by those who oppose you. And then he says, and I love this part, this is a sign that they will be destroyed and you will be saved, for it has been granted to you. Notice how he says that. It has been granted to you. That you've been allowed. A grant is something you receive that you want, right? You've given. It's a privilege. It's been granted on behalf of Christ to not only believe in him, but to suffer for him. It's been granted to us on behalf of Jesus, not only that we should believe in him, which is a wonderful thing, right? On behalf of Jesus, we've been granted the privilege of believing in Jesus, which means you've also been granted the privilege of suffering for him. This is part of it. There's going to involve suffering. It's going to involve difficulty. There will be hard times. You are not going to be able to follow Jesus and never suffer. I don't care what the prosperity teachers tell you. It's not going to happen. And Paul says if it does, probably something's wrong because it's been granted to us to suffer for Christ. You are going to face opposition. Everyone's not going to love us. Everyone's not going to like us. And we're going to have to face that challenge. But Paul says this is a sign that they will be destroyed and that you will be saved. Yes, you're going to suffer, but you will be victorious in the suffering. And those who inflict the suffering will be destroyed. I was just reading an article this morning. Yale University, who has been trying to, in different ways, discriminate against Christian groups on campus, or not just Christian groups, but any group that holds to traditional morality. So Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Orthodox Jewish, that holds to a kind of biblical standard of morality. Marriage between a man and a woman. You know, that we are the gender we're born. All these things. And they got slapped down on a couple of things they were trying to do, but they found a new way to inflict this. And one of them is they're denying financial aid for people who take internships in groups that they consider or deem to be discriminatory against, you know, homosexuals or transgendered or whatever. And by discriminating means you don't endorse their agenda. If you believe in traditional marriage, if you believe in sex between a man and a woman, reserved for marriage. You know, basically, if you believe in basic biblical morality. And if you go to work for a firm or someone, a company that affirms basic biblical morality, they will not fund that. Normally, they help fund, you know, people's internships and things, but they're not going to do that. So one example was given was the Alliance Defending Freedom. Alliance Defending Freedom is a law firm that champions religious rights, and they defend people for religious liberty. And now Yale saying, no, it's only for, you know, discriminatory hiring practices. But that's not the way it's written up. That assurance has only been given in private emails, has not been given in the actual text of the policy. So it's another way to kind of discriminate against Christians and deny them something. Because, you know, the culture doesn't agree with us and it's fighting against us. And it, because of that, we're going to be, some people might have to suffer. They might have to face a hardship. Now they get an internship, but they have no funding for it. Where normally that funding would come from the school and the school would help cover their expenses. Now that's not going to happen. And if it's an unpaid internship, how are they going to afford that? And they need it to graduate. I mean, it's a real challenge. What are they going to do? I don't know what the answer will be because it just happened, but they're going to face trial. But why are they facing trial? Because they're holding fast to the word of God and to God's truth. And in our culture, that's not popular, especially when it comes to moral issues. Biblical morality is seen as offensive by many, many people, discriminatory and hated and whatever. And if we're going to hold fast to that and hold fast to the truth of God's word, you're going to get pushback. You're going to get people challenging you. You're going to get people who disagree with you, especially in the mainstream culture. Are we willing to face that? Are we willing to face that derision? Are we willing to face that trial? And there will be other ways that you'll be called to suffer, other things that will happen that are going to cause us to face hardship for the name of Christ. Look, we're all going to face hardship in life just as part of life. But as a Christian, you're also going to face hardship for the name of Christ. But Paul says that has been granted to us. That's not an exception. That's something weird, but that's something that's been granted to us as a sign that we will be saved and victorious. See, if you're living in such a way that you're never in conflict with the world, it's because you're living like the world and you're not living to follow Christ. If we're living to follow Christ, it is going to bring us into conflict with the world. It is inevitable. It's going to happen. And we need to face up to that challenge and realize that that might involve some suffering and some trial in our life. But that's a good thing, and it's worth it because that is a sign that we are being saved by Christ. Because we're not like the world. We're not like what they're doing. We're not following that false belief. We're following the truth. And the truth isn't always popular. There's a great line from the movie The Robe, and it's put into the mouth of Judas, who says, "Men said they wanted the truth, then found that they could not live with it." Well, that's what happened to the world. The world always says they want the truth, but when they find the truth, they find they can't live with it, and they reject it, and they move on to other things. If we're going to live for the truth, we need to realize that, and realize that there might be some suffering along the way, but that God will help us. God will care for us. God will give us victory, even in that suffering. So stand firm. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. And continue to contend for the gospel. We'll come back with your prayer requests, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. It is the prayer closet, 419-389-0893. And we go. Time for our prayer requests. If you have prayer requests, get them into us, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. And got a couple of requests in. A listener writes in and asks for prayer for custody issues involving her boyfriend's daughter, just asking for God to resolve these things peacefully and without any need to involve courts or anything like that. Lord, we do pray for these custody issues that are being fleshed out here. And Lord, we do pray for a peaceful resolution to this, a positive and good resolution to this that will be best for the daughter in her best interest and will serve her best. And Lord, we pray that they're able to be resolved peacefully, that the courts don't need to get involved, that it doesn't turn into an actual battle or fight, but they're able to resolve these issues peacefully and both parents able to work together in a peaceful and harmonious way over this. And so we pray your hand of favor upon them. Also, I have a listener texting in about a prayer for their second cousin who's suffering from stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Lord, we lift up this person to you as they're facing cancer, this cancer, and Lord, we pray for healing upon them. We pray that you would destroy the cancer in their body, that you would destroy every cancerous cell in their body, that you would heal them and deliver them completely from this cancer. Lord, that you would strengthen them, and they would know that it is your power and your hand at rest upon them, just bringing them victory in this. So, Lord, we lift them up to you. We ask that they would find a hope and encouragement and strength in you as you bring healing upon them and deliverance in this. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. This has been the Prayer Closet. Remember, you can always get your prayer request to us by emailing or texting at prayer@yeshome.com at any time. You can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. As there are people here, I'd be happy to pray with you at 419-389-0893. And if you ever need to talk to someone, and doesn't matter what time of day it is, you can always go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button. You'll be connected to a live online spiritual coach for an online chat session. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Prayer Closet.